response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. President Trump is, he's scoring some major victories. There's some big wins last night or early this morning, however you want to phrase it, became official, right? President Trump got a big victory with the passage of that big, beautiful bill. Vice President Vance stepping in, casting the vote. It goes back to the House now. They got to, I guess, hammer out a few details here and there. But there is that deadline that the president imposed, and everybody seems to be going along with, of Independence Day, July the 4th. So we'll see how that plays out. Okay, looking forward to that. Craig Peterson will be along just about an hour from now. We're going to talk about tech and staying safe online, and maybe he can really honestly tell me what the heck I gotta pony up for now that my laptop has, what's the technical term, pooped out. I think that's what the tech guy said. It's just gone, dead. It's a paperweight. So I'll get some advice from Craig. I mentioned that President Trump's had a number of victories, lots of them at the Supreme Court. Well, we've got to talk about some legal issues. Who better to bring into this than the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, a friend of mine, former federal prosecutor, Joe Moreno. I'm always thrilled when he's got time for us. Counselor, good afternoon, sir.
Jeff, how are you, sir? Speaking to you from sunny Orlando,
ooh,
where I hear the weather is better than where it is in Virginia right now, I'm told.
Well, yeah, Orlando in July. Okay, so you should be expecting 10 minutes worth of showers at any time, and then you'll be back to your regularly scheduled excursions, right?
That sounds about right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I, number one, I appreciate you even taking the time while you're out of town and all, but give us a little lay of the land with the Supreme Court. The president has had some pretty big victories, right?
Well, Jeff, I think that, you know, normally the end of the Supreme Court term is exciting for us lawyers who really follow this stuff. But This time around, there were some really significant developments that affect a whole lot of people. And there's a lot of attention on some of these. I would start moving backward with what was called the sort of birthright citizenship case.
Yes.
The case of Trump v. CASA, which is one that a lot of folks were focusing on regarding the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what the case did was it did not make a decision regarding how to read the 14th Amendment and how far the right of citizenship applied to those who were born in the United States. That's still an open question, believe it or not, even though the 14th Amendment was passed in 1868, never been specifically ruled on. But what the court did take head on was this idea of nationwide injunctions, basically the idea that any district judge among all 680 of them nationwide could issue an injunction, basically put a case, freeze a case in its tracks, not just for the parties before that judge, but for anybody, anywhere in the same situation. And this had been done in the past sort of selectively over the last couple of, 20 years or so, but it had really been relied on heavily in the first Trump administration, and especially in the second Trump administration, where really issues of immigration, issues of taxation, issues of DOGE access to information were all being held up by something like 40 different injunctions by district judges nationwide.
Okay. Now, this is, we've talked about it in the past, this is where Democrats, for the most part, for the last 6 months, have said, okay, we didn't win the House, we didn't win the Senate, we didn't win the White House, but we still want our policies in place. We're going to find a very friendly district court judge, and he or she is just going to issue this blanket order that all of a sudden covers everybody.
That's right. It was sort of their last tool in their arsenal, and they used it very, very aggressively. And so we went something like 200 years in this country where this sort of thing never happened. And then all of a sudden, in the last decade and a half, they've been kind of piling on. They realized it was a way, if you got a sympathetic judge, and they were very selective about which districts and which judges to bring their cases to, you could get a ruling that basically grinds things to a halt coming out of the White House. And I give Donald Trump credit. I mean, he, you know, there were accusations that he was going to defy the judges and defy the courts, and he never did that. I'm sure it was tempting, because I know this was being abused, but he did not do that. And he, you know, he kind of held his sort of fire under control, and he ultimately won at the court. And I'm glad the Supreme Court didn't take 2 years. It resolved this in, what, 6 months maybe?
That's right.
And that's a great thing. And look, I think that everyone recognizes that there are situations where the courts need to step in, right, if Congress or the executive branch is abusing the law. But the courts themselves should not be abused as a mechanism by saying, rather than go to Congress and change a law, we're going to halt the execution of the law by using a sympathetic judge. That kind of thing, the government cannot function like this. And it's a good job by the Supreme Court for stepping in and stopping this practice.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that. I think everybody is. We hear the details on it. Joe Moreno is joining us, former federal prosecutor, our go-to guy when it comes to everything related to the law. Lots of things coming down from the Supreme Court. What about this dust-up involving Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett and Ketanji Brown Jackson? Because even I, as a layman, I read Justice Barrett's decision or opinion. I'm not even sure what it's officially called, but good Lord, she just dismantled her co-worker there in epic fashion, I thought.
Well, you can see that, you know, beyond the sort of layer of decorum, you can tell there's some pretty significant personality clashes among the nine justices.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty professional among each other, but it did get kind of nasty, at least for Supreme Court standards. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson wrote a pretty, let's say, hyperbolic dissenting opinion, where she basically said in kind of apocalyptic terms that this cessation of universal injunctions would be lead to an imperial dictatorship, and it would allow the White House to do all kinds of crazy things. And Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote for the majority, where they can kind of comment on the dissenting opinions, in, you know, back and forth, she said, look, again, we went two centuries without this practice, and we were just fine.
Yeah.
So the idea that now things are going to kind of all go crazy because we're stopping this hand-picking of judges who are, of course, unelected, who can effectively put a hold on the elected president's actions nationwide, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And so there was some pretty vicious jarring between the two of them, and I'd recommend anyone who's interested in this sort of thing, look it up. It's definitely worth a read.
One of her payoff lines was, I better paraphrase, but it was essentially, okay, so, Madam Justice, you hate the idea of the imperial presidency, but the imperial judiciary, full speed ahead.
Right. You're okay with, you want to constrain the elected president, but you're perfectly fine with out-of-control judges. And yeah, it was a great zinger. But it's an unfortunate addressing of the hyperbole coming from the left. And I think we've seen this just think about this the last month or so. We talked about some of these issues, right? We talked about the deployment of the National Guard by President Trump to California to control the riots.
Yep.
And there was a screaming that was an imperial presidency and he was abusing the military. Right. Then there were the strikes on the Iranian nuclear facilities. And they said, oh, you should be impeached. This was unconstitutional. Right. And now there's this decision by a progressive justice who says, the world, you know, the country's going to end now. We're no longer a democracy because we've ended universal injunctions. And it's just, you know, they got to calm down. Because if everything is a crisis, if everything is a 10 out of 10, then nothing is really a crisis. And so, I don't know, where do we go from here? I mean, it's one thing to be political. It's one thing to sort of posture for your own position. But if you're constantly using this apocalyptic rhetoric, especially from judges, I mean, it's really not a good path we're going down.
No, no, that becomes so dangerous. Now, Joe, you mentioned that normally at the end here, there's an exciting time for you guys, you lawyers, you know who you people are, but for the rest of us people, there's some other stuff coming down from the court. What are the other big decisions that we should be paying attention to?
I would point out two others that we were waiting on, and they really turned out to be, I think, for us more conservative-leaning folks, they were really good outcomes. One was the case out of Montgomery County in Maryland. It was Taylor v. Mahmoud, which basically was the question about whether or not children attending public schools could be required to read and be introduced to materials regarding LGBT, transgender-type themes. And it wasn't just that they were being exposed to the information, but that there was an actual script that teachers were instructed to read so that if a child asked certain questions about, let's say, these characters and these stories, the teachers had pre-programmed responses. And it really kind of impinged on people's religious views about this topic. It's obviously a hot topic, yes, mm-hmm. which is why you would think the public schools would just kind of want to stay out of it, maybe.
That's right.
And kind of stick to math and literature, right, and science, and kind of avoid these hot-button topics. Maryland, in its wisdom, first allowed an opt-out for parents, which sounds reasonable, and then they reversed themselves. And now, you know what? That's too difficult. No opt-outs allowed. All children have to be exposed to this material. So it worked its way to the Supreme Court, and thankfully, in a common-sense 6-3 decision, the court said, oh, no, you're impinging too far on people's individual religious freedom, and you cannot force children who, of course, many families don't have the option to send their kids to private school. They have to go to public school.
Right.
And to be forced to be exposed to things that really violate a family's religious views. And these weren't just Catholics. These were Orthodox. These were Muslim families who all banded together to block this material. Excellent. So it was a common sense decision by the court. It was something that if the state of Maryland and Montgomery County had really kind of had more common sense, they would have stuck to the opt-out to begin with. But you know what? I'm glad the Supreme Court came to its senses and corrected the situation.
Absolutely. Now, you have talked about, and we've all seen, these 6-3 decisions. Is this where we're headed for all the people that were very, very concerned about Amy Coney Barrett? Are they able or to look at these decisions and say, oh, okay, she's kind of in with the crowd, with the in crowd?
I think the nervousness was always sort of blown out of proportion. Remember, the ultimate case was the Dobbs case back in 2022, and we had the same 6-3 coalition. So she was a solid choice. I think people have to kind of tone it down. She's a textualist. She's a conservative. She does like protocol.
Yes.
So I think in the times that we've not been happy with her have been times not so much that she ruled with the progressives, but that she forced cases to go through the entire appellate process. She doesn't like the emergency docket where basically you fast track cases. But at the end of the day, when it comes to substance, she's been a reliable conservative vote. So I think a lot of the sort of consternation about her was misplaced.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think she's still solid. On a personal note there, Joe, are you in Orlando with the entire Moreno gang enjoying themselves?
No, afraid not. My wife is home with the kids by herself down here on a few days of Army Reserve duty, which despite my advanced age, I'm still saying I'm proud to do.
Well, we are grateful to you for doing it. Make no mistake. Joe, I appreciate you being here. I hope that you and everybody in your family and your circle will enjoy Independence Day, reflect on what it is. And again, you always have my gratitude to you for making time for us here. We really do appreciate it.
Jeff, always my pleasure. Happy Independence Day, sir.
Thank you, sir. That is Joe Moreno. Joe is down there. Yep. Joe is active military reserve.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. I think Lieutenant Colonel. Major? I don't know. I don't want to give him a field promotion. I'd have to take something away from him. But he's an attorney in the Army, as well as an attorney in private practice, a former federal prosecutor, and I got to tell you, just one of the smartest guys you are ever going to interact with. Craig Peterson will join us at 4:35. Looking forward to chatting with him. We'll talk about tech and staying safe online, and I will have to ask him if I could purchase another Windows-based device. Would that be the end of the world, or could I somehow figure out a way to make it work and be safe? I don't know. I'm going to wait till he has an answer on that. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., please make sure you're listening to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. You will guarantee you get a lot out of it. There's a lot of information, a lot of wonderful people passing through the program. You want to hear what they have to say. Again, that's tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. with my friend Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News, starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.